activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. On this episode, an airliner UFO collision close call, a faux UFO hearing in Washington, Star Trek Into Darkness talk, and we'll find out what a crite is on the alien invasion number 68. From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave. I've got Legs Nelson also here from Wausau, Wisconsin. It's Brad Ludwig. Brad, do you like bread, Ludwig? And Anessa, I've got a French loaf moyens from Denton, Texas. Hello, people.
Hi, that was my bad.
It's all ass backwards and stuff.
It is. That was my bad.
Discombobulated.
So pretty much just to make sure that we know where that's from, where are those nicknames from?
It's part of an Eddie Izzard skit on Dressed to Kill, and he's talking about Sue, like this girl that he liked, and he approaches her. He's like, he says, "I've got legs." And he said, "Do you like bread? I've got a French loaf." And then he whacks over the head and like runs off going, "Bye."
See, so, Brad and I were discussing it in the pre-show before you got here, Anessa, and he thought it was from Doctor Who when Matt Smith became the 11th Doctor.
No, although I could do something with that, with apples and custard.
Yeah, see, you're giving...
Fingers and custard.
We're giving her...
Well, because he talks about apples and that he doesn't like them. He's like, "I like apples," and then he bites into an apple. He's like, "Oh, God, I hate apples. Apples are..."
Well, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, which is why he does not like them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He will not eat green eggs and ham. He will not eat them, Sam, I am.
If that's on purpose, that is brilliant, whoever thought of that. That's freaking brilliant.
So, totally but yes, this is an Eddie Izzard reference. So
cool.
Yeah.
This is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. The show is divided, sectioned off, cordoned off into three delectable portions. The news, the creature feature, that's our spotlight of a particular kind of alien, and our picks for the week. For the audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show live, please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. We'll let you know when it's going down. And when we do the show, it's at galacticnetcast.com/live. And it happens around 8 to 8:30 p.m. Central Time on Thursdays. All right, kids, you guys ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
In the news,
Brad Lee has the first story.
You trying to bust a rhyme there, MC Nelson? Oh, yeah.
Boy.
So our first story comes out of Scotland. Airliner almost hit UFO over Scotland.
Okay, hang on. If it's not Scottish, it's crap!
It's crap!
Okay, go ahead.
One of the greatest SNL skits ever. A passenger jet came within 300 feet of a collision with an unidentified flying object as it came in to land at a Scottish airport. The experts have been unable to explain the object seen by the flight crew of an Airbus 320 as it descended towards Glasgow Airport. The encounter happened at the altitude of about 3,500 feet over the eastern suburb of, holy crap,
Ballaston.
There you go.
Just say it really fast.
Ballaston. The pilot who reported the collision risk as high was descending in clear conditions with the sun behind the Airbus 320 when both he and the co-pilot saw a blue and yellow object looming at a range of about 100 meters. The pilots were baffled. The subsequent investigation by the UK Airprox Board, which prepares reports of near misses, has failed to clear up the mystery. The pilots said the objects passed directly beneath before either of the crew had time to take avoiding action or had really registered it. They said it appeared blue and yellow or silver in color, with a small frontal area, and was bigger than a balloon. Now, they're not really saying if it's bigger than a weather balloon as opposed to a Mylar balloon, but I would assume that an Airbus 320, which is a really frickin' big plane, a Mylar balloon is not even going to register with them at all. So it had to be a much larger balloon.
Like a dirigible or a hot air balloon?
Well, like a, you know, hot, well, like a weather balloon or hot air balloon.
Okay.
In size, that would be my guess. Of course, we don't have many more details than what we've just given here, but yeah, kind of a big deal. Imagine if that had gotten sucked into the engine of an Airbus.
I was just thinking about that. That would have been
a lot
awful.
Of people inside of an Airbus. It's one of the largest passenger planes that we have available.
What's the capacity, do you know?
Of an Airbus 320? I do not know, but thanks to the powers of the internets, we could probably find out.
The internets? What's that?
It's a newfangled thing that they've just put together. It's pretty freaking amazing.
You mean the World Wide Web?
Yes, the Worldwide Intertubes.
Do you think the co-pilot and pilot turned to each other and said, "We're baffled"?
Holy crap!
I don't know that they would have said we're baffled, but...
Do you think they got together before...
I think they had a little WTF moment.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought these were much larger. I must be confusing with the new Airbus planes, but these only the first flight of an A320 Airbus was 1987, so they're not the newer ones that they're using today. So it only has a capacity of 124 to 170 some folks, depending on which of the Airbus 320 family there are. Looking at this, there's the A320, they have the A319 and A321. So that's all a part of the same family.
Welcome to the new podcast on the Galactic Netcast Network, Airliner Talk. With
You're
Brad
quite
Ludwig.
Welcome. You asked a question, I gave you
I
some
did,
details.
I did. I should never ask a question I don't want the answer to.
Exactly. Because we have the power of the internets at our fingertips.
Yeah, and why
we
not?
We will answer the best we can.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if the passengers... Did it say the passengers saw this?
It didn't sound like it. It sounded like at like the point where they saw, where the pilot and co-pilot saw it, they had already just kind of right over it.
Okay.
So I doubt that any of the passengers knew what was going on.
I wonder if there's still that stigma of reporting UFOs.
Oh, I bet you there certainly is.
Although, they're much more open to it in the UK than they are here in the States.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, just judging by a lot of the stories prepping for the show, a lot of them come out of the UK, and the UK has released their documents for, like, the past however many years. And they're not, like, no one went crazy with a permanent marker censoring things. It was just like, here's the documents. So the UK in general seems to be a lot more open with their UFO sightings and documentation and whatnot.
Yeah,
as opposed to the US, it's like, okay, sure, we're going to release this document and there's going to be like five words visible. There's like Henry ate pizza. And yeah, that they, was
that is an amazing pizza if you've ever tried it. Oh man.
They should always put the phrase freedom of information in quotes. Have somebody
quotes.
Next to the paper doing air quotes, freedom of information.
So, yeah, and that's one thing that I've noticed. So I don't know that, I wouldn't think that there's that much of a stigma to say, hey, we just saw this flying object that we don't know what it is. So
let's have some tea.
Cheers.
You know, speaking of free information, Dave, people can actually share information of what they thought about the episode tonight. They can leave feedback by going to contact.galacticnetcasts.com.
Actually, I think, hang on one second, I think that doesn't work anymore.
What? No.
Yeah.
Say it ain't so.
Joe, hang on, I'll tell you in a second.
Well, I can tell you for sure that they can email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. or by calling our voicemail, which also will allow you to send text to us. Of course, data fees may apply. But that number is 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966, or you can leave a comment in the forums at galacticnetcasts.com/community.
And by the way, that URL does still work. So you can use contact.galacticnetcasts.com and actually you can leave an email on that page, and you can subscribe to our podcast on that page as well via email. If you want to get our email or our podcasts sent to you via email, you can do that on contact.galacticnetcasts.com.
Shut up. That is crazy.
You shut up.
Okay.
Let's both shut up and let Anessa talk with the next story.
Should totally do that.
Maybe. So, the next story. Former members of Congress hold weird faux UFO hearing in Washington after The Price is Right. Not the TV show. These people were paid.
Come on down!
The former members of Congress include former Senator Mike Gravel from Alaska. Let's see. I forget who else. But anyway, they were initially offered $10,000 to participate in this faux hearing, faux UFO hearing, and they were like, eh. But then the price doubled, so they were paid $20,000. And they sit there, and they listen to witness testimony, and they go through all the proper procedures. Of course, they lack the staff that actual hearings have. But it's being filmed, and they're basically treating the events that the witnesses are recounting as being true. So this is actually being done and filmed for...
Can we pause for just a second?
Sure.
I'm sorry, but people should be seeing the picture now of them actually listening to the proceedings. And I don't know who the guy in the center is, but wow. He's ready to nap.
I don't think he's conscious when that picture was taken.
He's like, I'm getting paid $20,000 to take a frickin' nap right now. Thank God I got my glass of water.
Okay. That's
okay.
Fun.
Sorry, continue.
It's okay. So, yeah, like these guys were paid $20,000 to sit there, and witnesses are, quote, sworn in, and they have recesses like you would during normal hearings.
Monkey bars.
And, it's being filmed and produced by Bassett's nonprofit Paradigm Research, and they'll use that footage to mimic an actual hearing. So, it's really interesting. But like some of the witnesses are former Air Force members talking about like either firsthand or secondhand UFO sightings. It's kind of crazy that they would actually pay people $20,000 a pop just to sit through this faux hearing that they're recording for a nonprofit film.
That's the only point of this, or are they trying to accomplish something else too?
I'm not entirely sure. Well, part of it was they were also accusing the U.S. government of, like we mentioned earlier, concealing information, like evidence about UFOs. And so they're wanting this to try to help show that there is evidence of actual UFO sightings that are legit from credible witnesses and whatnot. So I think that's part of the other point to this is to say, hey, we've actually got people that aren't, you know, some crazy nut from the backwoods who sees a helicopter and thinks it's a UFO. You've got people that fly airplanes and are in the military. And so, and I mean, like, they weren't, like, grilling the witnesses. I'm sure they asked them questions, but they weren't like, are you telling the truth? Sort of thing. Shining the light, making them uncomfortable. And, like, the picture that Brad showed, like, the guy in the middle was like, eh.
That's such a great picture. He's waiting for recess. He wants to get on the monkey bars.
They have got a lot of play out of this. Like, I keep on hearing about this. Like, and we're part of it. You know, we've been talking about this. We've talked about this a few times. And I've heard them discuss this on Coast to Coast AM, and I subscribe to a UFO podcast. Or not a UFO, it's alien podcast. Kind of like ours, but they talk more about close encounters and that kind of stuff. So it is getting publicity. So maybe that's something else they're trying to accomplish, is just kind of shine the light.
Right. And they're getting former government officials to participate in this. And so that is going to bring some attention. And like one of the people participating, which is a former representative of California, Lynn Woolsey, she says that as a member of Congress, she would never have actually joined real UFO hearings. But since she's no longer in office, she says, we don't have a lot to lose. So
that's the best quote of the whole thing. Yeah, we'll take the 20 grand. We got nothing else to do. We got nothing to lose.
She's 75. I mean, what else is she going to do with her time?
Oh, man.
The most action she's probably seen in a while.
She seems interested, though. She's looking at the papers. Sounds like looks like she's listening. Yeah.
She's at least, you know, putting in the appearance of actually giving a damn and working for the money, which is kind of nice. And not to be a grammar stiff, but it's Paradigm.
Oh, Paradigm. Sorry.
Yep, Paradigm Research. I just became that guy. I apologize.
Brad, do we want to discuss what me and you or you and I were doing when Anessa was talking?
No.
We were having a spelling correction fight.
So in the original thing, it said, had noticeably slurred speak. And I went in there and I changed it to speech. And then with the EE, and then Dave went in and he changed it to EA. And then I don't even remember what I ended up just changing it to screech.
No, I said I started with screech, but I spelled it wrong and you spelled it right.
So yeah, we were listening to you and paying full attention to everything you were saying, but we were having maybe just a little bit. But doesn't mean we love you any less. But we were still fighting over this one word. And then he ends it with, that's what she said.
Yeah,
at the
no, because
we have nothing left to lose in her quote.
Because it just said what she said. Or no, it just said she said. And I typed in, that's what she said. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, Anessa.
It's all right.
It's my fault. Brad is not to blame. It's all my fault. Me.
Oh, I was there. I participated.
Okay. All right, let's move on. You guys
I'll
ready to move
20%
on?
I'll take 20% of the blame, though. The other 80 is you.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fair.
Okay.
Okay, how about we split 30? I'll take 30, you take 70.
What? Screw that.
25.
Flip it.
Okay.
You take 70, I'll take 30.
Okay.
Final offer.
All right. Done. Sold.
Boom. Sold American. All right.
All right. Third and final story, Star Trek Into Darkness clip. The latest, we were talking before the show started, how I thought that there's a lot more hype surrounding this one than the 2009 movie. And And they're really pumping out a lot of stuff. They're pumping out a lot of clips. They're pumping out a lot of these vignettes, interviews with the cast, and these viral videos of Harrison, that's Cumberbatch's character's name, kind of talking about each character in his, you know, voice. So this article on screenrant.com, they posted a few of these video clips, as well as the Klingons. We now know what the Klingons look like in the J.J. Abrams version of Star Trek. And
it's really kind of an interesting look. Very, very dark skin, very rough looking. And if you're watching the video portion of the show, you can see that they do have a bit of a ridge on the on the whole top of the head, it looks like, that extends briefly down the nose. They have earrings.
Yeah.
And it looks like they have yellow contacts or yellow eyes, which is really kind of lends to that whole badass look that Klingons have always kind of had. But it's a different looking Klingon.
Yeah,
still.
The article points out that it looks very much like the Klingons that they showed in Star Trek the Motion Picture when they first introduced the forehead-ridged Klingons. The skin tone of these, or the skin texture, looks so much different, though. It's almost shiny in a way.
Well, this almost looks like a bad picture, or just maybe the makeup wasn't quite touched up. If you look around the face, it's very shiny, but if you look around the mouth, where there would be less need for a prosthetic, and you wouldn't really want to have it so you have free movement of the lips and stuff, it's a lot more of a flat look to it as opposed to shiny. So I don't know if this is just a pick where maybe they hadn't quite touched up the makeup yet around the mouth or what.
But, and this is just a screen capture from a very quick glimpse of the Klingons. So that might be resolution issues. And I'm noticing now the Klingon symbol on his jacket. You guys see that?
Yep. Right in this area right here. If you're checking out the video portion, I'm moving my cursor around, circling the Klingon logo. And they haven't changed the logo at all.
No.
It still looks like the three-pointed, individually semi, almost scythe blade-shaped triangular pieces with the circle underneath them.
You know,
the logo that they've always seemed to have.
The Klingon logo and the Federation, the Federation logo, you know, kind of look similar. Not the Federation logo, but the star.
United Federation of Planets?
No. The triangle on their uniforms. What's that called? Insignia.
Oh, the insignia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks very similar to the Klingon logo, sort of. I don't know. Anyways, we now know what the Klingons look like, and there's some other cool things among the items on this post. There is a character kind of review of Uhura from... Should I play this? It's not going to reveal anything, right?
Go ahead.
I
think you should.
Okay, let's play this.
Lieutenant Uhura, the soul of the Enterprise. A master of communication with the frequencies of the entire universe at her fingertips. She is the force of compassion holding the entire crew together. But look deeper, and you will see a woman whose love makes her a liability, is a duty to the mission, or to her own personal relationship. How can she watch someone put their life on the line when her heart needs him to be safe? None of you are safe.
So pretty cool, eh?
I have a severe man crush on Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm not ashamed to say it.
It's understandable.
I wonder if his voice changes at all in the movie. Because, you know, every single clip that we have seen and heard his voice, it's just in that deep, not emotional, just flat line, you know, I'm calm, but you're all going to die. I'm evil.
You know, what's really kind of interesting is I wonder if he's going to use that voice when he's the voice of Smaug for the Hobbit film. Smaug the dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. That seems like it would be a really good voice for him to use.
Yeah.
It's like low, it's
deep,
kind of
dispassionate, unattached. Yeah. I know we've wandered briefly away from the alien aspect of the show, but we are still speaking of the same actor.
Yes.
But he's just got a great voice all the way around. I mean, if you see him in interviews, he's light, he's funny, and then you see him do like a serious role like Sherlock or this, and it's just – it has impact, you know? It really has impact.
Before we move away from this article – let's mention real quick, there's one other clip. I'm not going to play it because it kind of is spoilerish, sort of, in a way. But it's Kirk having this very terse discussion with Cumberbatch's character. And Cumberbatch reveals there's these coordinates that the Enterprise should go to find out something. And they think that maybe it has to do with some sort of crime that the Federation committed, because that's Cumberbatch's whole motivation in this film is he wants revenge for something that the Federation did. And what
if you think about the title Into Darkness, I think that really is plausible. I don't think that the darkness is really necessarily of Cumberbatch's doing.
Okay. That makes sense. But the article goes on to think that maybe the crime of the Federation, whatever they did, whatever evil thing they did, was against the Klingons. So that's how the Klingons get involved in this film. They were wronged somehow by the Federation.
I can see that. Absolutely.
All right. We'll find out when Star Trek Into Darkness gets into theaters on May 17th. It's going to be in the UK next week. So we'll start hearing reviews from across the pond.
Hey, Nessa. How excited are you to see the Star Trek film?
I'm excited. I'm trying not to listen to you guys talk about it, though. What?
No, that's...
It's more than I knew, and I really didn't want to know that much. I just want to go in, and I want to watch it. And I just kind of... Movies that get a lot of hype, I try not to pay attention to. Just because by the time I see the movie, I don't know.
We didn't really spoil too much, though, I don't think.
Well, I didn't really know anything about Cumberbatch's character, so...
Okay. Oh, so you hardly know anything.
Like, I hardly know anything. Like, okay. I hardly paid attention to... Like, my news feed, and I just scroll right past it.
Whoops.
So, I'm just trying not to pay attention.
Okay. I feel like I just grabbed you by the lapels of your shirt and went, "Hey, did you hear about this thing for Star Trek?" Woo!
So
okay, well,
yeah,
we'll
talk about being a bad boyfriend. That's me.
God, Brad, what's wrong with you?
I just became that guy.
I know.
It's an awesome boyfriend.
Okay, we'll stop talking about Star Trek Into Darkness. In fact, we will not mention this. We will not mention the movie ever on any of our podcasts until you see it, Anessa.
All right.
Full-on moratorium of Star Trek Into Darkness.
But you better see it right away, because this is going to be either my pick or Brad's pick.
Yeah.
Because it won't be mine or anything.
No, it could be use. Use. Use picks.
Use picks. Hey, use, guys.
My all cousin, right. Vinny. The Utes.
Yeah.
The Utes.
All right. Let's move on, shall we? You guys ready to move on?
The two Utes? Yes.
Yeah. All right. So this Galactic Netcast is brought to you by Audible.com. For you, the listeners of this show, Audible is offering a free, absolutely free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to sample their awesome service. You're listening to a book. You know, you may not have time to read a book during your busy, busy day. Maybe you have a long commute. Hey, let's pop in an Audible pick or Audible book and listen to it on my way to and from work. So to go along with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest a book titled The Gentle Giants of Ganymede?
Ganymede.
Have you guys heard of this book?
No, but no, Ganymede is a planet, or a planet, a moon of moon. Jupiter.
Oh.
So you've got the four Galilean moons. You have Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto. And that's where the book takes place, is on Ganymede, which is a satellite.
Which, what a great U2 album. Oh, wait, that's Zooropa. Sorry, completely different.
I had to pause for a second and think about that. I'm like, is Brad really talking about? Oh, okay. Anyways, so here's...
I get that a lot.
Here's a brief synopsis, a brief review of this book. Long before the world of the Ganymedes blew apart millennium ago, the strange race of giants had already vanished. All that remained of them was a wrecked ship, abandoned on a frozen moon of Jupiter. Now Earth scientists are there, determined to ferret out the secret of the lost race. But suddenly, the Ganymedes return. They bring with them answers that will reveal the secret of our own as well. There you go. The Gentle Giants of Ganymede. Check it out on Audible. Make it as your pick or pick something else. There's thousands of books on Audible that you can listen to. So what we want you to do is go to Audible Trial, audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Use that URL and we'll get credit for you checking out their service. So we thank Audible for their support of the alien invasion. All right. How about we do this right here?
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
All right. What do you got for us, Brad, this week?
This week, I've had this thing where I enjoy really... I enjoy classic sci-fi movies, but really kind of almost pseudo-terrible B sci-fi movies. I really enjoy them, like Life Force and some of the other ones. But the Critters series, really, wow. So I picked the aliens called the Krites. The Krites have been described as porcupines, rats, badgers, opossums, hedgehogs, rabid cats, Tasmanian devils, and a slew of other similar creatures. They're not very big. They're about the size of a large domesticated cat. But their appearance seems to vary from film to film. So like in the first film, they're much smaller and not quite as furry. In the second film, the Krites appear larger, and they have larger teeth, and they have thicker fur, and it covers their entire bodies, whereas in the first film, their stomachs weren't covered with hair. In the third film, because there were four, in the third film, they're even larger, and they're even more pudgy. Their eyes are larger, and they're fluorescent glowing red instead of the dull bleeding red from the earlier films, and their fur is even thicker and spikier before, hence the whole porcupine explanation of what they look like. And then their hair gets darker and more slick back, and they lose the brownish tint that they used to have, and then it's like the people that make the films just kept going, God, we need to make them look more sinister, because having small little creepy rodents with sharp teeth, that's not creepy enough. We need to make them bigger and hairier and wilder and looking, and it just they just continue to make them look different. But one of the interesting things is, while not much is mentioned about the reproductive habits of the Krites, because, you know, you want to think about creepy, furry little rodent aliens that eat anything doing it. But they're when they do reproduce, they actually do lay eggs. They're kind of like the duck-billed platypus in that regard, a mammal that lays eggs, huh? Uh-huh, yeah, there you go, venomous duck. Anyways, they need to eat a lot before they lay eggs, but how they actually produce the eggs, they don't really talk about. There's no mating rituals, you know, like no corsage or boutonniere given on the first date or anything like that.
Oh, they're not. That's not very romantic. Come on.
No.
Come on, Kreitz. Like, get with it. Get with the program.
Yeah. And what's really, there's a huge discrepancy. So like in Critters 4, the main character, Charlie, tells another character that it takes 6 months for the Krait eggs to incubate. And then in a previous movie, it was like, oh, it's only going to take a few hours. And in the second film, their eggs were laid from the first film appeared, and they've remained dormant for 2 years. So it just seems to be random and whatever kind of fits the script at the time. So one of the other interesting things about the Krites, I think it was in the second film, they actually form into a huge ball. And they roll down a hill and through a town. And as they roll over, and I know that they like roll over a dog and some people, it's like as the ball of Krites roll over them, it's like all the flesh and sinew and everything is just stripped off of the creature that they roll over.
Oh, wow.
So basically these things are tiny, carnivorous vermin. For lack of a better term, they reproduce and they just eat anything that is. They're definitely not vegetarian, so anything that is meat or meat based, they will consume. It gets pretty gruesome because, as I said, sci-fi B type film.
Is it ever mentioned where they come from?
It is, and actually in the I know in the first and second film. You guys fans of the Dresden Files?
No.
Okay. The Dresden Files TV show, the guy who played, oh my God, I'm about to lose my geek badge right now.
The main character?
No, not Dresden, but, Bob, the character Bob, who's actually an air spirit that lives in the skull. Anyways, the actor, Terrence Mann? I can't remember his name right now, but anyways, he appears in that film. I think it's his first film appearance is in Critters 2. And he's a bounty hunter, actually, from another planet that – and then the phrase is, kill the Krites! Kill the Krites! So that's their deal. They're intergalactic exterminators of the Krites, and they end up coming to Earth to – kill the critters that have crash landed on Earth.
Oh, so that's how they got here. They crash landed somehow.
Yes.
Hey, did you just open a bottle of beer?
No, that's a notification on my phone. I'm sorry. I forgot to mute my phone before we started the podcast.
I love hearing those sounds. Brad's in the background just chugging away on his beer.
Woo! So anyways, the Krites. You know, if you want to watch mindless sci-fi violence, watching like Critters 1 and 2, I have not seen 3 and 4, and actually by the time I got to 2, it was slightly ridiculous. But it's a good fun time. Interesting watch. So
I love cheesy 1980s, these type of movies.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I haven't seen that one, but it's slightly better than Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. So
I haven't seen that one either.
There you go. Boom.
I had Killer Clowns in my Netflix queue for a while.
It's in my queue too, and I just haven't taken the time to watch it.
No. I got to be in the right mood for it, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, there you go. That's the creature feature this week. The Krites from the Critters film series. Thank you very much, Brad. Good job.
Thank you much.
Since you are a power user of Stitcher, do you want to talk about Stitcher?
I would love to. You know, one of the nice things about the Stitcher app is you can program in your favorite podcasts, which is really nice. I keep saying that I'm a narcissist, so I enjoy listening to the Alien Invasion, so I can listen to the points where I really probably need to shut my mouth and let somebody else talk. but I also listen to other podcasts like Marketplace from NPR, because for some reason I enjoy listening to the status of money and the stock markets.
They actually make it interesting, though. Marketplace,
yeah,
is
they
a good
do.
Show.
There's a lot. It's not just and hog bellies this week, or you know, it's not anything like that. It's what makes the things happen in the economy, and they keep reiterating the fact that the stock market isn't the economy, and this is not an advertisement for money marketplace. So anyways, I'll move on. The nice thing about it is you can grab all of your favorite podcasts you like to listen to. You program them in your favorites, and you can listen to them. It gives you notifications of the most recent one, and it will give you a kind of a visual representation if you've listened to it, or if you've listened to part of it. If you come back to it, it will pick up at the point where you stopped, which is really nice. So if you've listened to half a podcast and you know you had to eat dinner or whatever, you could always stop it and come back, and it will pick up right at that point. Even if you listen to another podcast before you come back to that, it will always remember where that podcast stopped.
It's like magic. It's magic.
It is. And, oh God, the number of different podcasts you can search and browse for, a wide variety of topics, and you can listen to any number of different podcasts. You can try things out, see what it's all about, and if you like it, add it to your favorites, and then you build up a library of podcasts you enjoy.
And doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you have an iPhone or an Android yep. phone or a tablet. If it's an app that's a cross-platform. That's what they call it, cross-platform. In fact, you discovered the Chrome plugin, add-on
yep.
thing.
Chrome and Firefox both have an add-on and or plugin for their browsers, so you can actually have it be a part of your browser, and if you're at work or whatever and you're on the internet, you fire it up and take a listen.
What we want you to do is go to stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts and then enter the promo code Galactic Netcasts, and then if you sign up, we'll get credit for your membership, and we'll get a little money out of it. So a great way to support the show while helping yourself at the same time. Again, go to stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts.
Stitcher. And the thing to note too, before you finish, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Is it's free.
Yeah.
Stitcher is free.
Yeah.
It's not a paid app.
Just like our podcast is free. We're not asking for
Absolutely.
Money.
Nope.
We're not, you know, you don't have to pay for it to listen to it. Us, Lord knows anybody would want to do that in the first place.
No. We should be paying other people to listen
yeah.
to us. Except for Anessa. Anessa kicks ass.
Yeah.
Not really.
So there you go. That's Stitcher. Smarter way to listen to radio, and we thank Stitcher for the support of Galactic Netcasts. All right, so picks time. Kind of going along in the theme of cheesy 1980s, 1990s movies, my pick is Species. Have you guys seen Species?
Yes.
Yes.
It's an amazing cast. Like, I forgot how good the cast is. Ben Kingsley, Michael Madsen, Alfred Molina, who's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially lately, it seems like. Forrest Whitaker, Marg Helgenberger, and Natasha Henstridge, which I believe it was her first film, or one of her first films.
I think you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. So here's a brief kind of synopsis. In 1993, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Project receives a transmission detailing an alien DNA structure, along with instructions on how to splice it with human DNA. And why would you want to do this? I don't understand. It's stupid. What's the point of doing this, splicing this alien DNA with human DNA? I don't understand. Anyways.
Well, if you want to better understand, yeah. if an alien intelligence contacts you, you want to know more about the universe and that you're not alone, there would be people that would absolutely, at a drop of a hat, do something like that.
Or
I don't think that's outside of the realm of possibility at all.
Or what happened in this case is it's basically an invasion by the species. Not they don't actually have to come to our planet. We can make them for us. Or, no, we can make them for them. We can make versions of them here with us. And it's basically they're going to multiply and take us over and eat us. So, going back to their stupid experiment, the result of this splicing was Syl, a sensual but deadly creature who can change from a beautiful woman to an armor-plated killing machine in the blink of an eye. Do you know the actress who played young Syl? She was on... She's done a lot of really good movies lately. Like, she's like...
Jennifer Lawrence?
No, no. Jennifer Lawrence would be like a baby back then.
Yeah.
She was on... What was that 90s TV show? It was on Fox, I believe. Started with the guy's name.
Oh, Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams, yes. I was going to say Dawson's Creek. She was the young Syl. Lots of nudity in this movie too. They had no problem showing skin in this movie.
No, none at all.
So that's it. That's my pick this week. Species. If you want to see,
What did you think about it?
I think it holds up pretty well until people start digging out their cell phones. Or like
they have the huge.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call somebody. Here, I got my big cell phone here. I need to hand crank it so I can, you know, get the gerbils to power it up.
Or they show a computer screen. Those are the two things that really date the thing. But overall, it was a really. And the other thing I noticed was it was very slow paced. For an action movie, it was kind of cerebral in a way. You know,
Was it an action film, or was it considered more of a sci-fi thriller?
Well, there was action in it.
Yeah.
I guess it's
more of a sci-fi thriller, sci-fi horror maybe.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But it seemed very slow going. Like, I was thinking if this movie were to come out today, there would be a lot less downtime. It would be just go, 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 you know?
I blame Michael Bay.
I think people blame Michael Bay for a lot of things.
Yes.
And this could be something else that we could blame him for.
Global warming, Michael Bay.
Yep. So, yeah, it's
on... Downturn in the economy, Michael Bay.
How many different species movies did they make? I'm curious. I suppose I should have done this research before.
Yeah, it might have helped.
Yeah. Species, 1995. Species 2, 1998. Species 3, oh, there's a big gap between 2 and 3. Goes from 1998 to 2004. And then Species The Awakening in 2007. So if you want to just go on a species kick, there's plenty of them to choose from.
I get the feeling that it was major motion film, and then major motion film, and then direct to DVD.
Yeah. Kind of like the whole...
like Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers, yes. Thank you very much, Inessa. I was going to...
Well, there's, you know, during that time, there was a whole bunch of different ones. What was the one with... Not Mira Sorvino. The one where it was like an alien or some creature under a city.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just can't think of it.
Internets, take me away. Mimic, that's what it was.
Okay.
They had Mimic during that time. There was a whole genre of films like that during that time period in the 90s.
It would be fun to do a podcast about genre, you know, certain genres of film. Examine this genre, you know? Because you can get very specific in your movie genres. Sometimes, yeah. You know?
Kind of like my Netflix queue. It's kind of funny, like, the suggested categories and whatnot. You know, it kind of starts off with, like, sci-fi alien movies, and then I was like, campy sci-fi alien movie comedies with romance. I'm like, really?
That's really great.
It just, like, keeps getting longer and longer.
Yeah. And you can really...
Yeah, it's got, like, all of, like, five movies in it, but still.
And one bad film can really throw off your Netflix recommendations.
Yeah. So,
damn it, Brad.
What's that?
Your bad 19...
What did I do now?
Your bad 1950s, 1960s sci-fi really can throw off Netflix recommendations.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, I recommend Species. It's a good romp through 1995.
And romp she does. Huh? Yeah.
No, the purpose of the purpose of
that's the whole point.
Natasha,
poor Alfred Molina.
Yeah. No, he really got what he was looking. He was trying to hook up with those with the women at the bar, and you know, moments later he was hooking up with the alien in the hotel room. Little did he know.
Surprise!
Yeah, and boy, was he surprised.
So surprised that it killed him. With the surprise killed him.
Spoilers.
It's like, he gets gutted like a fish.
Well, at least he was going out. He was having fun while he was killed.
I don't know. His screams at the end there, I don't think he
enjoyed like he was
that
having fun.
Much.
Unless he was into that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think he was.
Yeah, that's quite the kink.
It was more like, oh, you're the alien? Oh, my God. And then, dead.
All right, let's move on.
Wait, you're the one I wasn't supposed to sleep with. Oh, crap.
If it wasn't for the color change in her hair, it would have been fine.
At least she had fun too.
She really learned how to adapt quickly in this film. Like, she really learned how to speak English. Like, because for a while she was very like uncomfortable. She didn't know what to say. She would just repeat things that she heard, and then all of a sudden she was all smooth. She had no problem, you know, talking with people, talking.
Magic of Hollywood.
Yeah. All right, let's move on from my pick to Brad's pick.
Okay, my pick this week, Ben 10.
What?
Something for the kids this time around. And the Ben 10 series actually had another series that came after the original Ben 10, where Ben Tennyson and his cousin Gwen are a little bit older. But it starts out with basically Ben is just a normal kid who does, you know, throws paper airplanes in class, doesn't really pay attention. And he's really been looking forward to another summer vacation of 3 months of camping with his grandfather. And he gets into the camper with his grandfather and finds out that his cousin, Gwen, is... going to be along for the ride, and they don't really get along too well. So while they're out camping, a meteor crashes in the area where they're camping, and Ben is basically burdened with something called the Omnitrix, which is a sort of a wristwatch sort of looking thing that is attached to his arm. It picks somebody to wear, and with the Omnitrix you can actually turn a dial on this watch looking thing and actually choose from 10 different alien beings that he can sort of... It's kind of a weird symbiotic relationship where Ben disappears and this alien takes his place, but Ben's mind is within the alien. So
is this a live action or is this animated?
Pardon?
Is this live action or animated?
It is animated, okay. Which is why it's probably nowhere near your radar, your purview of interest. I mean that in the kindest way possible.
Thanks.
But anyways, there is an alien who is after this Omnitrix device. And Ben is trying to use this thing that he can't take off of his arm to be a hero, to do good acts. But and over the course of the show, he ends up having a showdown with this this alien warlord, I guess, for all intents and purposes, to who wants this device more than anything. So it's a very interesting story of the relationship and then the growth that Ben and Gwen actually start getting along, and you find out more about the grandfather. He seems to, like, right off the bat know that, the first time Ben uses the device, that he's actually turned into an alien and not like some superhero or whatever. He knows a little bit about aliens.
Oh.
Nobody really. You find out in the second episode, Gwen asks, "What kind of plumber were you before you retired?" And he's kind of dodgy about it. So you don't find out right away, but eventually you find out a little bit more about what what their grandfather actually did for a living.
The plot thickens. I see.
Yes.
It reminds me a lot of Green Lantern with the whole ring thing and, putting
Yeah, well, it's more like the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern. With Hal Jordan, the ring chose somebody that who was fearless, who was close by. Whereas with the Kyle Rayner would have been the fourth Green Lantern, well, fifth if you include Alan Scott. But the ring was there, and who was it? Ganthet, one of the. Oh God, I've gone into full comic geek mode. But
that's
anyways,
okay. No, that's perfect.
In that particular aspect, Kyle Rayner was just handed the ring, saying, "Well, you're here. Screw it. Take this." And it's
man, beggars can't be choosers. We'll take anybody.
Exactly, and that's kind of what it was at that particular point in time. The Green Lanterns had all been decimated by an evil Hal Jordan, and the last Guardian of Oa just went, "Fuck it. Here you go. You take it."
Did you just say the F word?
Did I?
I think that's the first.
No, I did not. Totally did not.
I think that's the first time somebody has.
I said suck it.
Oh, suck it. Oh, it. Okay.
I heard the other.
I heard the other too.
You probably did.
Dude, I was trying to make it out there. Yes, I said the F word.
Like, I heard
the And you other. Had to investigate further. Curse you.
Worst girlfriend ever.
No, you're awesome. But anyways, so there you go. Yes, there is a sort of a Green Lantern-esque aspect if you are looking at the Kyle Rayner one, whatever. Anyways, so it's a really interesting show for kids about aliens and discovering, becoming a better person, trying to do good as opposed to just being full of shenanigans and jackassery and what you can do with something if you follow your conscience and do the right thing.
Oh, okay. So there's a message. There's a lesson to be learned here.
Yes.
All right.
With great power comes great responsibility. Yes.
Speaking of comics, are you going to participate in Free Comic Book Day on Saturday?
Yes. And I will be seeing Iron Man 3 along with Alex and a couple of other friends.
Oh, so. I keep on forgetting that's out this weekend.
Yep.
I haven't been to a movie in a long time. I should go.
Yes.
All right. Anessa, you ready for your pick?
I'm ready.
Go for it.
I have chosen a short story called How I Proposed to My Wife, an alien sex story.
Oh, yeah. Brown chicken, brown cow.
And it's actually written by John Scalzi, so...
He keeps on popping up on this show.
He keeps popping up. He writes stuff that we read or would listen to on Audible. The story actually starts off with this character named Charlie who basically says, "Everyone wants to know how I proposed to Claire. Well, it's complicated." And Charlie ends up getting a job at a magazine. I forget the name. It's New World Man, which for some reason kind of made me think of Weekly World News for whatever reason. And I think part of it was because this magazine has an alien feature each month and they have different angles that they cover for aliens, because this is apparently set at a time when there's different alien species living here on Earth. And for the most part, I mean, everyone seems to get along. But they kind of make a joke about Alabama where, you know, like being in a relationship or having sex with like an alien doesn't count and it's considered bestiality in Alabama. But everywhere else, it's okay. It's kind of like a trend of, I don't know. But anyway, so yeah. And so like this guy, Charlie, like he ends up, it's like his second week on the job, and he's, you know, writing for this paper, trying to figure out like his spot. He's the low man on the totem pole, and they kind of go around the room and they're like, you're going to do this story, and this is what it's going to be. And the story is he has to write an article about dating aliens, like dating an alien, human-alien relationships. And he's like, well, no, I don't think that would be cool because I have a girlfriend. And they're like, well, is it serious? And he's like, well, yeah. And so the paper pays for his dinner so he could talk to his girlfriend and be like, hey, they want me to write this paper. I'm going to go out on dates with aliens and, you know, try to talk her into it being okay. And, yeah, it's filled with lots of awkward situations. And as the title would lead you to believe, alien sex. Yeah. So tentacles are involved because that's how they roll. But it's entertaining. It's about 25 pages long, and you can find it on Amazon for a dollar. Well, 99 cents, so close enough.
And we'll have it. And we'll have it on the Picks page.
Vanessa. I will.
Yes.
So, awesome. But yeah, I recommend it. He learns a lot about like the different aliens and like their dating rituals or lack thereof. Like for example, there's one species of aliens where they meet up once a month and they have milk balls that they put on a table and they meet in like this big white empty room and the room ends up filling with water, which dissolves the outer shell of these milk balls. And these are basically balls that are filled with semen.
Oh.
And the alien species is a hermaphroditic species. And so they all get like an equal amount of the DNA in these milk balls. So, and he's just like, oh God, that was like the worst thing ever. And he smelled like, quote, gravy for 2 days.
Okay, Anessa, I keep on thinking you're saying milk balls.
Milt, M-I-L-T, milt balls. Okay. Which milt would be like a, not quite like a fish egg, but something similar, I guess. But with semen as opposed to like the egg.
Stop. And all who sail in her.
So yeah, it's Yar. Just like bizarre little encounters. They're not all like that though, but yeah, it just
prepare to be boarded. Arr.
This would shiver me timbers.
This would be perfect for the Closer Encounters podcast.
Well, there you go. It would be close and good for that podcast.
Yeah, I should totally read this.
And
talk about it.
Like I said, it's 25 pages, so if you've got like 15, 20 minutes to kill, or however fast you read, half hour. But yeah, it's a quick read. And I was amused and kind of icked out, I guess, at that point. But yeah, he was like, I smelled like gravy for 2 days. So yeah.
Swimming in malted milk balls.
Swimming in, yeah.
That's Justin Man Gravy of the Manchester Man Gravies.
So much semen. So
stop saying semen.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Arr. You'll be walking the plank, Missy. Arr.
All right. Thank you guys for your recommendations. I think it's time to move on. But to review... To review, our recommendations were Species, Ben 10, and How I Proposed to My Wife an Alien Sex Story.
Intergalactic no sex, deadly sex, a child's cartoon, and more alien sex. Boom! Bookends!
All right. Yeah, and we'll put those on the picks page at galacticnetcast.com. Go through the picks portal and pay for your purchases, and we'll get a portion of your the proceeds. It's all about the peas. Popping the peas.
Sorry?
No, I'm just being weird. Okay. Don't even pay attention to me. It's okay. It's fine.
Popping the peas.
Did we start the show yet? Just kidding.
All right. Hey, speaking of the show, make sure that you subscribe to us. And we have a short URL that I believe still works, but let me check to see if it is still a functioning universal. What's the stand for? Universal something link? I don't know.
Oh.
You guys still here? You listening to me? Listening to me?
No. Uniform Resource Locator.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you can go to subscribe.galacticnetcasts.com and subscribe to The Alien Invasion or any of the other shows on the Galactic Netcast Network. You can follow us on Twitter. We're on Google+, and like us on Facebook. You can send us an email, like Brad mentioned earlier in the show, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Our voicemail number is 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. So do all that. Go to iTunes. Find us there. Subscribe. It's free. Leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review. That gets us more subscribers. All that stuff is awesome. You guys are awesome for listening and subscribing. Appreciate it. Before we get out of here, we have feedback, and it's from one of our regulars.
Yay!
Yes!
Jason from Kansas is writing in to us. That's more of a southern accent. He's from Kansas.
I was wondering why you're doing a southern accent for Kansas.
He's from Kansas. I don't know how to say it, do a Kansas accent.
Does Jason have... I've got the vapors.
Somehow I doubt that Jason with the epic beard has a southern I've got the vapors accent.
Well, let's take a listen to what Jason sounds like. Hang on one second.
Hey, everybody. It's Jason from Kansas. I just wanted to call real quick and tell you I was excited.
He's got a little bit of an accent.
Weekend, we had a Planet Comic Con.
Like a Midwest
City.
Accent.
Got to see George Takei, which is Sulu. He's a real cool dude. Lou Ferrigno, which was the Hulk. Got to meet a couple of authors from...
He's got a kind of a Western Texas accent. Sounds like you, Anessa. Eh. Sort of.
I don't have that much of an accent.
Okay. No, you don't.
So I was like, I don't know.
All right. So anyways, Jason wrote in, and this is what he said. Hi, all. Jason from Kansas here. Just caught the latest alien invasion. Thank you very much, Jason. First off, I did hear Dave say he hadn't seen Beastmaster. Laugh out loud. Exclamation point. That's like saying you've never seen Time Bandits. Just kidding, Dave. Wanted to say I really enjoyed... As usual, the topics of the show, how we should make contact, reminded me of a Robert J. Sawyer book, Calculating God. And yes, I too have sat in front of the TV as a kid to watch V. There you go. I was excited to see the 2009 remake, but all that did was make me revisit the book and respect it even more. Also, wow, those mugs are going to be awesome. Shut up. Is it done?
No, it's not done yet.
Okay, that's just the mug.
No, it's just the mug, the man killer mugs here.
Why don't you demonstrate again how big that thing is?
So you can fit a bottle of water in it.
You can fit a hand, right?
You really just, that was... you're not going to give this up. You want me to fist the mug. Is that it, Dave? There we go. I can stick my whole hand in there and I can fist the mug. Are you happy now? Are you gonna...
Oh, my.
This is week two. I wasn't going to do this, but now I'm fisting the mug just for you, Mr. Nelson.
Yes, I can fit my whole hand in here.
I'll see you guys later.
Oh, my God.
You took the train out, mister. I brought it back to the station. I was just going to go with the bottle of water because this is 20 ounces of awesome that easily fits in the mug. But no, you needed me to fist the mug to make you happy. So here, I'm fisting the mug so that we stop this. And next week, we won't have to do this.
Okay, I promise. I won't bring it up again.
I only fist the mug for you.
Oh, gee, thanks. Thanks, Brad. Wow.
It's just weird.
Yeah, it
I'm
is weird.
Go now.
Okay.
You're welcome. You pushed me into it, though. I'm telling you. You had it coming.
Okay. Jason says, as always, keep up the good work. Talk to you all later. So thank you, Jason.
And now I bet you Jason isn't going to want the mug. He's going to be like, which one is the one you fisted,
yeah.
Freak? Don't give me that mug. But I can tell you, Jason, that when I get these mugs from the Dollar Tree, that's my secret. And I've got 24 mugs that I've managed to grab because they don't get into Dollar Tree that often. So when I do see them, I grab them. And I get asked occasionally to etch mugs for weddings or things like that. So I will give you a non-fisted mug when I actually do make it.
And I'm sure that you would wash them too after. So
yes, they do. Well, using a glass etchant that actually, if you get it on your skin, will actually the molecules are smaller than water, so they will pass through your skin and they will attack the calcium in your bones.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
eek.
I remember doing a project and I turned to my friend and I'm like, if I spill this on my hand, we don't even talk about it. We just get in the car and we go because they're going to have to start calcium injections right away to stop the acid from eating my skeleton.
Wow.
Holy crap.
And the reason why I know that is I had a chemistry teacher who was working with somebody and he spilled hydrofluoric acid, which is pretty similar to what's used in the etchant solution that I use. And they had to just keep pumping, what did he say? Not calcium carbonate, but something. I can't remember what it was now. Just to have the acid attack that as opposed to the bones in his arm.
So could it get as bad as like eating away all your entire skeletal structure?
If you were dipped entirely in it, yes.
Okay.
But it would just attack wherever you splashed it.
Oh, okay.
It
so it's not going to go into your body and invade your whole system.
Mm. Well, I suppose you could get it in your bloodstream. But God, you'd have to really just douse your arm with it to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Needless to say, I use gloves. I'm not an idiot. So, although I'm sure the jury's out on that. But anyways, the mugs will be safely etched and run through the dishwasher to ensure that they are clean before they're shipped. And I'm sure after they're shipped, you're going to wash it again. So they will be safe.
All right. Thank you for the mug update, Brad. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That's going to do it for this Galactic Netcast. It is the Alien Invasion number 68. Thanks for joining us. And I hope that you guys were thinking about your final thoughts during the entire show. Because I expect genius this week. Who's ready? Who wants to go first? Brad's thinking. His eyes are moving.
That's my final thought.
What is it?
It's all gravy.
It's all gravy.
Referring to my pick and the milk balls.
I think that's going to be the show title.
And the Westchester man gravies, yes.
It's all gravy.
It's all gravy.
Come on, Brad, yeah, you can do it.
We talked about the moratorium on Star Trek. Otherwise, that would have been my final. I'm really excited for the Star Trek film.
Well, you can
really,
say you can say
been
you're
enough. We talked about how J.J. Abrams, you know, before the show, really, you know, sets forward the hype machine, and that really worked for the first Star Wars film. It worked for Cloverfield. There's the what is the website now? I am the 1701 or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds right.
Yeah. So all sorts of interesting hype that's being. I'm just wondering at a certain point, you know, like M. Night Shyamalan, he kept dipping into the same well of surprise at the end of the film that, you know, oh, you didn't see that coming. And by the time you got to the village, you're like, give me my money back. This is crap. You've done this 100 times.
But,
I'm wondering if there's going to be a point where J.J. Abrams is going to fire up the hype machine and everybody's going to go, meh.
I don't know.
I hope this isn't the one that it happens with.
I think that's a different situation, because even on the third M. Night Shyamalan movie, it wasn't that good. So I think J.J. Abrams, I think as long as he makes them interesting and creative each time and doesn't do the same promotional gimmickry, I think we're fine.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be surprises on this film. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by a few things that he's not revealed yet, because he's the king of not revealing stuff.
Yeah, that is very true. And I'm kind of wondering what's going to happen with the Carol Marcus relationship, because we know how that happened with the alternate reality, Kirk.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. So those are my final thoughts. I'm just really kind of psyched for the Star Trek film.
All right. That's the show. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.